Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. Just as a one greeting, I'm coming on live tonight. And if you're listening by internet, you get off the internet for some reason, you can dial 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. It's the light, the beauty. The last time I came on, you had to have a voice. And I pushed myself through the broadcast. I don't know how clearly I can make it and stuff. But I thank God anyway that he gave me the strength to go through that broadcast. And I want to kind of pick up from where I started off. And we started talking about excellence. And we dealt with excellent communication. And that's what I want to talk about today from a different vantage, from the church perspective. Collaborating. I need to really deal with communication as it pertains to the church at large. Generally, I would think of the Bible study tonight, it was canceled, but I'm dealing with that Bible study, the journey to excellence, and that there's a process, a journey that God expects us to go through, but tonight, I want to deal with capturing the picture of the excellent church and kind of get some points that approach to us really becoming a cohesive body. And so I think for the month of February, since it's generally the Freedom Series, I want to talk about freedom through excellence. Freedom through excellence as well. And I want to talk about really taking hold of the revelation of the portion of the excellent church at work in our lives. So on Thursday nights, I want to talk about freedom through excellence, and it's going to be activated in the functioning of the effective communication. And that's what I'm going to talk about. The church developing effective communication for the sake of freedom that is going to be realized Amen. Let's pray. Get the Holy Spirit involved in tonight. I won't be too long, but I'll be long enough for you to let someone know that I'm over here. And that's because we're well above 14,000, and I'm not going to get to about 50,000 listeners this year. And I'm well above 14,000. And somewhere close, getting people listening to the broadcast.
Neither said any of them,
that all out of the things which they had possessed, his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of the land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. Let's talk about excellence. I believe this particular chapter portrays excellence in the church. It is the church in its primitive stage when the apostles had assembled themselves together after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They were told to wait in the upper room until they be endowed with power from on high. When they were endowed with that power from on high, there came a manifestation of the Spirit, tongues set on the people as clothed in fire. And they began to prophesy and to speak in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And the scripture goes on to say that Peter was able to articulate that these men were drunk with wine as he spoke, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. After that, the word of God grew, and the church was added as such should be saved. From the development of the book of Acts, all the way until the letters of the epistles and the revelation of the Lord Jesus was maximized to what happened on the Isle of Patmos, we see a progressive church that had characteristics very distinct and clearly stated in the scripture that gives us a picture of what God expects out of this church. The beginning stages of the church, as we see in scripture, was that anybody that was filled with this power of the Holy Spirit, when they assembled themselves, had effects that stood above the natural, normal, day-to-day operation. And this particular scripture gives us a very vivid picture. It says that, look, when they had prayed, that place was shaken. And it emphasized not only when they prayed that the place was shaken, but that they assembled themselves together. So, excellence is God expressed glory given to the believers by the execution of his will, above the expected performance claimed by success in the world. Energized by a divine ability, we see character, competence, consistency, courageousness, and Christ-likeness being raised to a higher quality of life. And that's what we see when these people were assembled together. Now, note that this atmosphere was defined and predicated upon them all being filled with the Holy Ghost, and the word of God being spoken boldly. I found that today, in today's society, we have so conveniently commercialized Christianity that almost secular vernacular is the accepted culture of Christianity. To the point you can easily embrace someone secularly, because the same stuff that they're talking is the same thing that the church is talking. And that has become such a travesty that the world cannot decipher or distinguish what exactly is of God and what exactly is not of God. We don't see that in the scripture when it comes to his church. we see a lot of communication embedded in power of the Spirit's involvement that not only provoked them through prayer, but it provoked them in such a way that when they spoke, the word of God came with a boldness, a confidence, or a resolve in the culture that produced proof that they believe what they believe. And so excellence then was glorified in their competency, their character, their consistency, and their courageousness. You see, excellence is Father God's reputation, his desire for his children to exemplify his conduct and his commitment and consistency. To ensure this, he engineered mankind to inwardly have a provision divinely enabling them by his own methods to the supernatural to have evidence for their faith, efficient responses to their prayer life, enlightenment from the Holy Spirit, and encouragement as their true esteem from hope to afford truthful belief, to focus them in achieving excellence through the transforming power of Christ. A church that is committed to this excellence recognizes God's supreme authority to lead them to high quality. How is this all acknowledged? They first assembled themselves together, and they were on one accord, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. But it said this, when all of these things occurred by the power of the Holy Spirit, the scripture goes on to say that they were of one heart and one soul. How could this be? My conclusion is the effect of the word of God, that if the word of God is declared and spoken with boldness, anchored in the atmosphere of a praying people assembled together, that God's intent for his content would be felt in that atmosphere. My call towards preachers today is that we begin to bring emphasis back on those atmospheres. But then I thought about it, too. If we don't acknowledge the authenticity of the Holy Spirit, this will become a form of religious and rhetoric that will surface merely as a religious activity. You know what I mean by that? We can coin ourselves as under the religious jargon that we are really in sync with God, really doing what God wants us to do, but in all actuality, it denies the power thereof because it's not really impacted by them all being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so what I found out in this chapter is that this excellence and this freedom that we all seek comes from the true freedom comes from the intent observation of the perfect law of liberty, which is able to save the soul. Many people have freed bodies, but we also understand that you can free a person's body, but if you don't condition their soul, they can still be slaves to captivity in their own minds and self-destruct. We have seen too many times people freed without power. And so there's a partiality to this Christianity that we have because there's truly no freedom. Freedom I talk about begins with this perfect law of liberty. There is something locked in the word of God that if one opens their heart to receive from that word, couldn't even convert the soul unto the plan of salvation, making Jesus' rhetoric and walk and standard not just religious, but a relationship. Here we see that these people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were able to speak the word of God boldly because they were in an atmosphere of prayer. But it goes further into what this freedom produced. So, and, of course, you know, the freedom is the word of God. Realize. It said that, look, these people were of one heart and they were of one mind. And everyone that had something did not consider it their own. But they had all things in common. Now, this truly is my preach. Because there's a counterfeit gospel out there that is for me and my three. We have that "as for me and my house." And of course, it was good for Joshua, but his house was Israel. And in order to experience this type of freedom through excellence, we're going to have to develop selflessness. I believe that the church in transition, as we talk about transition throughout the body of Christ and the beginning of a new decade within a new era, we have to look at stuff in light of the scripture where it emphasizes more so a appreciation to God's effects being at work when we are operating as if God would operate on the earth. Again, it takes us back to this Holy Spirit. See, a lot of us have not really given the Holy Spirit access to truly make us selfless. And somehow in this perception, it gave power, great power, to the message that was coming out of the apostle's mouth. Now, I like the fact that the scripture does not talk about the apostles at the beginning of this particular segment in Acts. And that's why I'm dealing with this one scripture today. I know we're going to get into it a little. But the unique aspect of Acts 4:31-35 is that the people prayed. And the place was shaken because they were together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with boldness. And the multitude was of one, and the multitude of them that were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them of the things that they possessed were their own, but they had all things in common and with great grace. Do you get what I'm saying? Gave the apostles a witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Why? A great power and great grace was upon them all. Why? Why was that? The people were mature. The people had come together and the people had made a conscious decision that the atmosphere was not conditioned based on the apostles' revelation, but it was on the circumstance that gave them avenue to witness of that great resurrection and power. Why? Because the people were empowered. The people were empowered. They searched the scriptures to see whether those things be so, because they believed that freedom was in their revelation of the word of God. And that's why they could confidently assemble themselves together and communicate in such a power that when they would speak out of the overflows of their heart, when they would speak out of the abundance of their camaraderie of the faith, there would be power there. And in order to look at church and become truly out of an apostolic voice, out of an apostolic message to a church, those that have been sent to lead the church and send the church forth. There has to be a maturity amongst the congregants, amongst those that are entrusted with the Holy Ghost through prayer. We don't have praying churches. The churches are waiting for the preachers to pray. When the people, the multitude, had a grace on them and empowered them. Why? They were free. They were free because of the word that they heard, understood, and applied to their lives. So in freedom, there was a journey to excellence. It is for freedom, the scripture says, that Christ has set us free. You see, Father God afforded the Lord Jesus the power of righteousness to be married to the leader so that his church could exist confidently in excellence. Jesus perfected the fulfillment of the law to his life so that our liberty would be actualized, offering willingly a single way, fixed on the authority of the Word of God as the sole route to excellence. We know that God so highly exalted him through his utter obedience, through death on the cross. And it is the message of the gospel of Christ that awakens us to this higher quality through obedience. Christ then is not just in Jesus' last name, but his authority vested in us to do exactly what the Father wants us to do so we can achieve quality. Establishing excellence, then, is going to be as a result of our fixation on the character of Christ. For when we examine his character, we see a clear path for the performance to chart our progress to simply please God. And this demands excellence as an appeal to Christ, to be seen as we walk with him constantly to achieve education, exposure, evidence that most times is extensive and requires great exchanges. And in doing so, our lives are elevated so that the church is established through the power of Christ. Christ's greatest testimony is his church exemplifying his excellence for his kingdom on earth the same way it is in heaven. And so what do we say about excellence? Excellence is going to be initiated by establishing a pursuit. The pursuit is going to be unveiling the purpose of excellence. We know that the excellence derives its purpose from mainly the one major reason is because God's reputation. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is all thy name in all the earth. We know that the new covenant is established upon better promises because of the excellency of Christ. Christ's authority, his ability, his awareness, his affection, are all comprised from that nature to please God. Then we saw that the awakening of our faith then also reveals the excellency of the nature of things, because through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Excellence. This freedom is going to come through excellence, and that freedom is based on an observance of the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God. If the Word of God, then, is not given a great high regard in the lives of the individual people, they will not come to this unity that comes with the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost can only bear witness with the words we know. because they have not given the access to the Holy Spirit to empower them to be witnesses so that the apostolic work can be released through the presence of our unity. I think also there's an attack on true authentic leadership in the church because we are comfortable with being mediocre. And this excellence that I'm talking about is a revelation of the Word of God that demands the Spirit of God to be active in our lives. And when that happens, it will set apart those that are qualified to lead. On a side note, I've been listening to what we coined as gospel music and celebrations, even online. I watched the celebration of gospel music and found that we have a lot of secularism within the gospel community simply because we don't hold people to the standards of God's written word. And if you cannot believe, I've learned this, if you can't believe what's written, Lord knows you can't actualize what's perceived. It is the written word of God. I've taken you to the scripture in Peter before, where anybody that looks intently into this perfect law, the Bible says that their soul is converted unto salvation. I'm finding that people are not looking into this law. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The word of God really is really not the Bible anymore. The word of God is people's opinions on the scriptures and the prophecy of the scripture. The scripture says there's no private interpretation. How does this change? It changes in our value of the word of God. And the way you know the value of the word of God has changed is from two dynamics of this word called communication. The word communication in the scripture helps us frame the unity that is demanded within excellence in the church. The better we communicate, the more we cooperate in achieving a plan God has predestined for his church. The scripture translates communications in two major forms. Number one, the great exchange, which are marked by people who are aware of their stewardship for financial contributions. And then the second is the great exploits of character, which is a testimony of the quality of godliness that can be attributed to our actions that are consistently displayed. When we see those things, then our ability to communicate demonstrates clearly to God that we are connected, committed, and fully convinced that His will for our lives is the highest form of attaining fulfillment. Our ability to listen will also define the extent of the release of excellence in our lives. Now, these people assemble themselves together to receive from God. When they prayed, their expectation was to be connected to God, that there would be an exchange of information. They would offer praises. They would offer whatever they needed so that none would suffer lack. And the Bible says that this church grew daily. Why? They developed a path from freedom to excellence. I know this is a little heavy, but that's why I created this program. I'm not interested in just talking about the Lord Jesus loves you, for the Bible tells you so. I'm looking for an outlet of communication that we as ministers can come together and say, look, are we truly exemplifying how the scripture portrays excellence? Now, the thing I like about true healthy communication, when I talk about exchange and exploit through character, both of those areas, people's character and people's money, tend to be the very sensitive areas that people don't give control to ministry. And truly, when I say ministry, I'm talking about to the authority of the Spirit and available to what you can speak to them, and their lives concerning their conduct and to their and how they use their money. And if you can give people that are unified on those bases that clearly address those two areas, you'll see this demonstration of power that comes out of them. So that's what happened. They didn't just come together for religious praying. But when they prayed, they came together and they developed the selflessness to this one heart and one soul. And as a result of this oneness, and as a result of this unity, what occurred out of them was value, quality, a higher quality of life. So much so that they became selfless, and none of the scriptures say selfless back. This is the type of church that in the last days, in the dispensation of grace, where we are afforded the privilege to exemplify the authority that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. When we come into this confrontation of Scripture, this should be the expectation of what comes out of our church. This should be the expectation that comes out of our church. Amen. Jesus teaches all Christians to live in the truth, for their freedom is defined by the impact of truth in their lives. The more we pursue after the truth to live, we become transparent, clearly visible before God, and thus ready to comply, which is seen as submission to the authority of the written word of God. When we base all forms of communication on the truth, we evoke from the power of the word of God through the unction of the Holy Spirit. It allows wisdom, knowledge, and understanding beyond the norm, and it elevates our wisdom to quality. What we have to be mindful is when we are enlightened, others may not be, so the love of God must be given way to look beyond the things that are temporal as we keep our hearts focused on God. Amen. Let me give you five ways to establish a healthy communication. Amen. We got 10 more minutes. You can be with me for 10 more minutes. Thank you. Number one, we need to examine how well we communicate with the manner that the Lord Jesus portrayed in the Scriptures, compare how his responses to circumstances and conflicts and changes measures to ours. And the reason why I say this is because his communication to his apostles, when they acted upon it, produced the quality that is expected in the church. Excellence. When he communicated to his apostles and opened up their understanding to understand, when they gathered people together and they preached that gospel that they received from the Lord Jesus, the church was added daily, as such should be saved. That's what we see in Scripture. We see a progression of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus being communicated, and when it was communicated amongst the people, it caused spiritual growth to occur. And that spiritual growth translated into success, because there was such a unity amongst this people that when people had need, those that had did not consider what they had their own glory to God, and when they did consider those things as their own, the Scripture says that none suffered lack. Wow. There was freedom through their excellence. Their excellence could translate the quality of life that others had. Now, why am I saying this, preacher? Let me say it in a nutshell. Your churches should be at least a reflection of what happened in Acts chapter 4. The Acts was written in the Scripture as a history to the church. It told the story of how the church came together. The actions were not the actions of the apostles, contrary to popular belief. They were the actions of the people that were led exclusively by the Holy Ghost. And so if you are a Holy Spirit-driven church, a Spirit-driven people, you should get Spirit-driven results. And the results of a church that is unified and that is together, that is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is operating in prayer, is that the poverty of the people will be taken care of by the people who have the ability to meet the needs of those within their own group. Why is it that we have churches where you go into a church and you're still poor? Why is it that we go into churches and people don't know their neighbors? Why? There's no excellence. Why? Because there's no regard to the authority of the Word of God that is able to transform us into that very image of the Lord Jesus Christ, where none should suffer lack. And if by chance we begin to communicate, the difference between the churches today and the churches of yesterday, where they were a communicating people, they understood that communication was not just lip service, but it was an exploit of their character, which commanded their consistency and their compliance to the same thing, to speak the same thing, to say the same thing, and they put their money where their mouth was, and it produced results. What's happening today is the church is not communicating. We have assembled ourselves with our power. And the Word of God coming forth boldly is only coming through the preacher, when in fact the multitudes should be filled with the Word. And why? There's no regard for the Scriptures being known and written and read amongst the believers. So the apostolic voice is silence. And those things that we think we should be focused on through prayer and reading the word and things, that should be said amongst the believers. But we as apostolic voices, those that have been sent to the church for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry for the edification of the body. We should have such a power on us from the atmosphere amongst the saints that grace begin to spark as we proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have to compare ourselves to the effect of the manner in which Jesus communicated. Jesus communicated in a span of 3 years with 12 people. And it sparked thousands in the church from being saved daily. What has changed? Once we examine how well we communicate, with the comparison of the manner in which the Lord Jesus communicated, secondly, we establish a new vocabulary based on the revelation and the insights we have on the written word of God as a part of our everyday affair. Then from there, we enforce times of reflection and introspection on emotional ability. See, the people in Acts were of one heart and one soul. That, in order to get that type of unity, there has to be an observance of what heart is and what soul is. You know, I'm hearing the song Heart and Soul played on the piano in my head as I'm doing this point. You got to have heart and soul to write a note. And what's happening is, and heart and soul in the connotation of the scripture was, when they were of one heart and one soul, of course, you know, the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the soul of the man is that which connects to the spirit of man to translate what the spirit is saying to the body. It's the core of the heart. The heart is the soul of man. Man became, the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into that breath. What was the breath of life? Come on, what was the breath of life now? It was Christ in us, and man became a living soul. So the soul is realized in the excellency of the power of God being at work in our lives. And the heart is that mechanism which to translate and communicate to the what the soul is saying to the body, and what the spirit of what the spirit is saying to the body through the body that it's housed in. Amen. So when we talk about emotional ability and stability, it goes beyond just prayer and meditation on the scriptures. But it helps us transition from pain to peace, and it allows the Holy Spirit to reveal what we can do through His help to make us stable, balanced, perceiving those supernatural insights that only God can grant. Amen. And then fourthly, we have to educate ourselves on conflict and confrontation resolutions, learning to acknowledge transitions through transparency, establishing biblical bases of forgiveness and reconciliation, and consistent habits of personal Christianity. Man, we have to be people of character. We allow God to get in those avenues. Why? Because we want to be excellent communication. Excellent communication has to be displayed in this passage in order for them to be of one heart, where none suffer lack. After there's an enforced time of reflection and education on conflicts and confrontation resolutions, finally we have to evaluate periodically who we can confide in and develop relationships with the Holy Spirit by requiring how we can establish the best relationship with God. We have to then transition to the ultimate plan for our lives and rely on trust to bring about our trust with God to bring about the change we seek. Communication needs to have five primary elements internally before you can display confidence externally: affirmation, acknowledgement, approval, authority, and affection. It is the role of the Holy Spirit, seen as our comforter, that gives us the essentials as to how to emphasize this through our walk of salvation. Often, misunderstandings stem from sources of insecurities, insufficient thinking, and consideration of how we communicate, then often limits what God requires of all of us, and that's true humility. Humility is another key to excelling in excellence, and through the grace of God, we can overcome hindrances when we purpose to maintain the highest form of character, that is Christ. And you are exposed to more advantages in the Holy Spirit when you allow humility with the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide you to the truth that translates your lives to what God intends for you to be. Amen. So we have to hold fast to forms of sound word which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love with Christ Jesus. And we have to remember that we should let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister what? Grace to the hearers. So this church that we see in Acts, then I believe presents a legitimate challenge, and the challenge will unlock the freedom that we all are longing for. Being the church all the way or not being it at all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I'm going to pick this up next week and talk more on freedom through excellence. Amen. And amen. You know, tonight's discussion was a challenge to the church to not just be religious, but to command that evidence that God demands of us in our character and our commitment to the things of God to be seen evident in our actions. We're coming in a time, we're already in a time, we've been in a time where you can't afford to fake what you should have evidence of. You know, you say you're in Christ, but Christ, and they're born in Christ, seeing the scripture, please God through their faith. And their faith was so secure in Christ's identity that when they expressed it through their communication, people's lives were transformed. I'm convinced today that the church needs to see excellence amongst those that call themselves carriers of the sacred vocation. I'm convinced that we need to either be the church all the way or don't be it at all. Thank you for listening to tonight. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. God bless you. Thank you for listening. See you on the next broadcast. Good night.